Today is Communion Sunday. On the first Sunday of every month, we celebrate communion. So we're going to pause in our study of Acts. We'll go to that next week, and we will look at a portion of Scripture that deals with why do we celebrate what the church calls communion or the Lord's Supper. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, my favorite book in the New Testament. At least the epistle is that of Hebrews. My favorite gospel will always be John. If you can have favorites, John is my favorite, with the book of Hebrews being my favorite epistle. And in chapter 10, verse 1, the writer of the book of Hebrews, who was Paul, contrasts the Old and the New Covenant. And in 10:1, he said that the law is only a shadow and not the very form of things, and the law could never, year by year, sacrifice by sacrifice, make anyone perfect. Now we have to understand that when Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which we celebrate," that Jesus canceled the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant is something that is on the mind of Christians, but they grossly misunderstand things about the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant was not a pick and choose system. You could not divide the Old Covenant up into the Ten Commandments like Christians do and ignore all the rest. The Old Covenant was all the Mosaic legislation, not only including the Ten Commandments of not, which in Hebrew is low. That's how Hebrew says, low. How low can you go? Low, that's the not. It was much more than those Ten Commandments. It was hundreds of laws, moral, legislative, judicial, ceremonial, and it is viewed as a unit by Jewish people under the Old Covenant. You don't pick and choose. As a matter of fact, that is why Paul said that when the Old Covenant was in effect, those who followed the Old Covenant were essentially under a curse. Why would that be? Because under the Old Covenant, you had to do it all. Christians grossly misunderstand this, for they think, well, we can now pick and choose. We will take the Ten Commandments, but forget the rest. And I like lobster and shrimp, cotton and wool. You can't do that. When Christ said, "This is the new covenant in my blood," the old covenant disappeared completely. As a matter of fact, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, Moses was a nice guy, but Jesus is a son who gave us a new covenant, and Moses is yesterday. So if you want to build your theology based on Moses, you have retreated from Christ. That's why Paul got mad in Galatians. They started to rebuild salvation based on the Old Covenant and decided to bring in all that Old Covenant stuff, including Sabbath and circumcision, and you have to do what Moses said. And we all know that when Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood," Moses went out the door. Theologians debate this now. What in the Old Testament should we follow? And the fancy term they use for it, which theologians love to make simplicity complex. Here, are you ready to hear this, which you'll never remember? But it's called the continuity and discontinuity. What continues versus what doesn't continue. And the simple answer is game over. Moses is finished. Therefore, you are not under Moses' prescriptions. Well, Dave, then what are we under? When Jesus said, this is the new covenant, he inaugurated a new system, and we are now under, according to 1 Corinthians 9:21, not the law of Moses. He's done. We are under the law of Christ. Did you know that there's a law of Christ? The law of Christ may be summarized very simply. When we celebrate communion, we are celebrating the new covenant. So what rule? You know, Christians love rules, don't they? That's too bad, because there is freedom in Christ. There is freedom, Paul says. So what is the rule? Well, the rule is not the law of Moses. It is the law of Christ. And the law of Christ in 1 Corinthians 9:21 is that of love. 1 Corinthians 9:21 says this, that we are under the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Paul expands this. Paul says this, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. All the laws of Moses are now summed up by one simple principle in Jesus Christ of the new covenant. Here it is. You ready? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, of course, is behind what Paul is saying. For when they asked Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments in the Old Testament? He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, the law that we are under is simply this. What would love do? There is nothing complex. Only theologians who love complexity can mess it up, put in terms of continuity, discontinuity, and make it all difficult. The simple question that the believer under the new covenant asks is, what would love do? By the way, according to the new covenant, you can't do that on your own. The old covenant gave you all these laws which you could not fulfill. The new covenant, God gave you His Spirit in order to supernaturally, through God's Spirit, produce love in us. By the way, a testament of a true born-again person is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in their life. And I want to tell you that the evidence of the Holy Spirit in a life, God's Spirit softens you. The fruit of the Spirit, if you've ever read it, who knows where the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians 5? 22 and 23. Read what the Spirit does under the new covenant. George.
Can I just do it by heart?
Well, I don't want you to leave something out if your heart skips. If you look at all of those terms, under the old covenant of Moses, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, it was exacting retribution. Under Jesus, the Holy Spirit in the new covenant softens you. Can you tell the effect of a life that the Holy Spirit has? You sure can. The more gentle, loving, kind the person is, the more the Spirit has been working in that life under the new covenant. The more a Christian is harsh, unloving, unforgiving, the more the Holy Spirit has not been active. And that then tells me one thing. Sorry to be judgmental, but there's a lot of Christians who say they are Christians, and I wonder, do you truly know Him when the evidence of the softening impact of God's Spirit is not in your life? Christians were to be known, by this shall all men know you're my disciple. How? By the love you have for one another. Yet I happen to know that there are people in our congregation that have been hurt and wounded by Christian churches and Christian clergy. And I grieve for the church has not been perfect in love. And I apologize to anyone who's had a pastor, a clergy person, a church, who has not seen the love of Jesus Christ and the softening impact of God's Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit active in your life under the new covenant? Then you'll see the fruit of love. If there is no fruit of love in your life, then I'll do something that got me into trouble at a church in Northridge, California many years ago. I called on people to re-examine whether they truly know the Lord, and I got in real trouble with some of those deacons at that Baptist church because I asked them to re-examine their life on the basis of love. If you really want to know the evidence of someone being born again, it is not mere profession. Now, God does save on the basis of grace alone. That is so true. So many people are messed up on that. But then God goes to work on a life. And there are carnal Christians. But if love is lacking in your life, which is the paramount quality of the Spirit in the new covenant, by this shall all men know you're my disciples by what? That would mean we would call into question, have we truly been born again? Has our talk been matched by our walk? And you all now know, the hardest thing to do is not keeping the Ten Commandments. Don't steal, don't do this. That's pretty, we can kind of see that. You know what the hardest thing to do is? Is to love as God commands us and as Jesus commands us under the law of Christ. Why? Because it takes a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to really love when you see some of the things that you see. So when we celebrate the new covenant, we celebrate Moses is over, the Ten Commandments are over, but you wouldn't want to do things where God would disapprove. But at the same time, love is at the top, and all you need to ask under the new covenant is this: what would love do? And then you got to say, Holy Spirit, you got to help me because I think I know what love would do, but sister and brother so-and-so have really hurt me. That dumb preacher offended me. And then you have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. But the mark under the new covenant is not law. The mark under the new covenant is love. You cannot go wrong in life obeying Jesus' command to love. It will always guide you because that's what God is. God is. And yet I can show you libraries at seminaries and Bible colleges that are loaded with books on every subject, and you could take all of those books and burn most of them, and all you'd have to say is God is love, and if you are God's child under the new covenant, you what? It's that simple. And yet we all know it's hard to love. That's why the new birth experience is supernatural. God has to give you His power to do it. And there are times in which I personally have struggled with love for some of the hurts by people. But the new covenant under Jesus, there's one word, not law of Moses, but law of love under Christ. I'd ask the ushers if they would wake up and pass out the elements. Oh, and George is going to read a poem that he would like to read at the time of communion. George? Sorry, George, you should have waved that at me.
I know you can multitask, do the communion too. I did this 9 years ago. I did a poem, and it's called A Cross. It's three words. A cross, a cross. You know, it costs to love. Above the cross, it was seen written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, a sign for all to view, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Oh, the epitome of hypocrisy, matched only by the enormity of its audacity. People of sin and trespasses to find fault with Him whose essence is holiness. He who came to set the captives free, is He Himself judged as guilty? Was it not a mocking mob that failed to see you as God? Did they mistake you as frail and thought you had failed? Did they see the universe at stake, or simply Jesus pierced by a stake? Did they with righteous indignation say, "Heal thyself, physician"? Did they feel justice was preserved when humanity has never been so served? But it was not the metal stakes through His hands and feet that kept Him on a cross. It was me, my trespasses, and of course, His obedience to God at all cost. How gruesome a sight it must have seemed, and yet the greatest act of love, and now I am redeemed. Naked but not ashamed, and despite the pain, with the curse now reversed, He said, "It's finished," and victory was proclaimed. Since my gracious Lord chose to accrue the sins of me and you, in immense gratitude, I live my life for Him, and I suggest you do too.
There is a budding preacher in George. So what have we said this morning? We celebrate the new covenant. Moses is over. Game over, man. So what's that all about? God is love. Jesus came to show the love of God, for God so loved the world. So how do you know you're saved? Well, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? After that, how do you know how carnal you are? How fleshly? Well, how's your love life? If you struggle in love, you are carnal. Say, "I'm having trouble with love, Dave. That's hard to do." Well, that's why the new covenant, God had to give His Holy Spirit. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, there are so many Christians that are hard to love. Help me through the power of Your Spirit." That's the law of Christ, is just what would love do? Oh, theologians, they disgust me. For they make all sorts of things out of something that is very simple and easy to grasp. Shall we take the bread and remember what Jesus did? To inaugurate that new covenant, Jesus said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. No more bulls and goats, but the blood of Jesus was shed. For God so loved the world."